Hello, 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 and welcome to Puff Puff Pass, your 420 friendly movie review podcast hosted by the world's worst critics. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Christian.
And we are completely and utterly sober.
Sober.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because it's time for sober thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
Christian, do you want to explain for the new people what sober thoughts is?
So sober thoughts for you newbies is the time of the month where we kind of go through a review of all the episodes that we recorded and released this past month. Mm-hmm. Not really reviewing the episodes, just going over the movies one more time, mm-hmm. giving a quick rundown while sober.
Mm-hmm. We may have new views on the movie, or we may just have new ratings. So you never know. If you would like to participate in Sober Thoughts, this is kind of like a chance for you guys to interact with us. So if you have any tips about the movie, if you hate it, if you love it, if you hate us or love us, you can also find all that out on Sober Thoughts. We just want to have a clear head.
We want to have fun. Just good old adventures, you know? Mm-hmm.
So Christian, did you enjoy our bringing us back for season two as a sequel? Did you like that idea?
Yeah. I did, actually. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was a great idea. I'm glad that I came up with it all on my own.
Classic, man.
No, it was really more Sahara, if we're being honest.
Yeah, Sahara always comes up with the ideas.
Yeah, we had some great movies. We had Shrek 2. Mm-hmm. That was really fun. We had
The Sandlot 2.
Sandlot 2. That mm-hmm. one was not fun. What else was there?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, Chamber of Secrets. Mm-hmm. And was that it?
No.
There's one more.
Yes.
Another, yeah, because four in a month. Yeah.
Yeah, Toy Story.
Toy Story 2. Mm-hmm. Okay, that one was all right.
If there were any other sequels you would want to do, what's something you wish you could have traded out for The Sandlot?
The Sandlot? I wouldn't have traded The Sandlot.
Yes, he didn't like The Sandlot 2.
Yeah, but we need a bad movie every month. I would have traded like Harry Potter or something.
Okay, what did you want to trade Harry Potter for?
I probably would have gone, I think I mentioned like Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we were talking about like episodes we could do. I feel like that'd be really cool. Oh. And Star Wars was kind of trending at the time, so.
I think if you didn't decide, I think our backup movie was going to be Spy Kids 2.
Spy Kids 2, that's a good mm-hmm. one.
So shall we get started?
Of course.
Okay, so the first movie we watched this month was Shrek 2. I love Shrek 2.
Shrek 2 is great.
And I think it's better than the first one.
I think so too. And I just want to point out that I said that when we were recording. You're like, nuh-uh, you like Shrek the Third.
I'm saying I agree with you.
Yeah, but you like Shrek the Third
Shrek
more.
The Third? I do like Shrek the Third.
You like it more though.
Okay.
Whatever. I think Shrek 2 is the best one.
No, it is. It's a really great, honestly, now that I'm older and I'm watching all these kids like movies that I used to watch when I was younger, like watching them now and how they have such like, it's kind of like pretty big subject matter, you know, like Shrek trying to find himself and Fiona's family, and I think that can be related to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some facts about this movie.
So did you know mm-hmm. that when they were making Shrek 2, there's a scene over Princess Fiona's bed, there's mm-hmm. a poster of basically Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm. It says Sir Justin.
Sir Justin, yeah. but the producers swear that when they did that, they had no idea that Cameron Diaz had just started, who plays Fiona, mm-hmm. had just started dating Justin Timberlake mm-hmm. in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought that was really funny. And Timberlake ended up being given a role in Shrek the Third.
Do you know who he is?
I don't.
He's Arthur.
Is he Arthur, mm-hmm. really?
In Shrek the Third.
Oh, mm-hmm. my God.
Yeah, he has kind of a branch to his voice.
Shut up. Trolls. In many ways, would you say that Shrek 2 is the fairy tales, what Kill Bill Volume 2 is to the kung fu genre?
I saw that on IMDb as like somebody put on the comments. Yeah, on the comments. And I thought that was a really interesting take. What did you think?
I thought that comment that I saw, I thought that was pretty cool too. See, mm-hmm. I also looked at the IMDb comments. I did see that one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, I don't, would you put Kill Bill in like the kung fu genre?
Kill Bill is definitely kung fu.
I mean, I guess.
But I think it's definitely like one of, you're only saying that because it's a woman. Anyway.
What?
I think in a way that Shrek is a fairy tale. I think the first movie is definitely a fairy tale. But the second one, I think, you know how like there's an outlier, like the pretty princess doesn't always end up with the pretty prince, you know?
And
like,
you're an ogre.
Yeah, like it's very like based. I think maybe in modern telling of a fairy tale, you know, like they're like with fairy tales, like they're meant to be like cautionary, you know? And I think even with like Shrek 2 in itself, the whole movie, I think I'm trying to think of like, what is it trying to like tell us? Like, what's the cautionary tale here, you know? And I think it's in a way like, don't judge a
tale, do whatever
like,
you want.
It's again, don't judge a book by its cover. And then also like, you know, your family members may love you and may have like your best interest, but like always trust your gut.
Your family members may love you, but Shrek loves you more. Shrek you know is love, I mean? Shrek is life.
But do you know what I mean? Like there's a, like there's an outlier, you know what I mean?
No, I agree. Also,
you're not going to say anything. You're just going to say, I agree.
Well, I do agree.
You're not going to put in your whole
spiel. I thought I kind of did that when we were watching the movie, because I think that we kind of included it in our wrap up a little bit. But I think that this movie, like the lesson that it tells you is also like, because like you said, the first one is don't judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. I think that Shrek 2 is more along the lines of, well, you know, not everything happens the way it's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. Like Fiona was supposed to fall in love with Charming. Mm-hmm. Charming, it was supposed to break the curse. Mm-hmm. Fairy Godmother is supposed to get what she wants, but not everything happens that way. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of the, you know, love conquers all type thing. Like, you know, like, yeah, that's supposed to happen, but like,
I like that, love conquers all. I think that's a good lesson.
If they wanted their plan to work, Prince Charming shouldn't have waited so damn long.
He was gearing up. He was training.
Gearing up for what?
To defeat the ogre. He's got to go.
You mean defeat the dragon?
Yeah, he's got to go through.
Wasn't that hard? All they needed to bring was a donkey, apparently.
I don't know. With all those guys that tried to get Fiona before that were dead. Do you remember?
He just has to get past the dragon and get up.
He doesn't have to kill it.
Yeah, like. Also, like Fairy Godmother would have let Prince Charming die.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I do not like my hand.
No, I'm scared the mics will like reverberate off of each other.
That only works with like speakers and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I don't know.
No, that's like if you put the microphone next to the speaker.
It's on my phone.
Anyway, did you know that this was the first ever, first sequel ever nominated for an Oscar as Best Animated Feature? Sorry.
That's awesome.
I thought so too.
Do you want to retry that one?
This was the first sequel ever nominated for an Oscar as Best Animated Feature.
Can you say it less cunty?
This was the first sequel ever nominated. No, for real though. So, a bit of movie trivia.
Okay.
In the scene where Shrek is in Fairy Godmother's factory, did you see that some workers, when they're putting potion bottles on a conveyor belt, one of them is labeled Viagra? Which is supposed to be a play on Viagra.
I did not see that.
Like fairy Viagra.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you not get that?
Yeah. No, I get it. Do you think fairies have proportionately more of a problem with that?
All I'm going to say, it was a big bottle for how little fairies are. So it's getting some use.
Oh, boy. Originally, Dragon was supposed to have a major role in this film, and when Donkey drank the potion, she was supposed to turn into a Pegasus. I would have loved to see that. I would have loved to have seen that. And it makes me wonder, like, would they still would have had their babies?
Yeah, he would have been the stallion, she would have been the Pegasus.
Do you think they would have?
What would you do if I drank the potion? Who would I turn into?
Handsome Christian.
Handsome Christian. You know that scene in Rick and Morty where where Beth and Jerry go to the couples therapy thing?
Oh, yeah.
And they create how they see each other.
Would you be the slug?
No, I was going to say, would I be the big strong Jerry?
No, you'd be the Jerry that has his face.
Jerry. Jerry. Yeah. The asshole Jerry?
Yeah, that'd be you, man.
Oh my god. I am not like that.
So,
I'm not like that. So,
when Mongo, our giant gingerbread, is hit by a flaming catapult ball, his roar is the same roar as the original Japanese Godzilla.
It's Godzilla.
Do you remember when we were talking about all the different, like, stores.
Yeah,
and the,
like Burger Prince.
Yeah,
and Starbucks.
You know, I listed all of them just to see, like, because you were so interested in that, and I thought maybe you would like it.
Oh,
like
my
reading
God.
A list of all the different spoofs that they had.
Let's see what we got here.
Okay,
we got Burger Prince, Burger King, Old Navy, Old Navy. Far Away sign, which mm-hmm. is the Hollywood sign.
Mm-hmm.
Saxon Fifth Avenue, which is Saxon Fifth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Romeo Drive or Rodeo Drive.
Do you think they call it something like Romeo?
Romeo.
Like, you know what I mean?
No. Versace, which is Versace. Gap Queen or Gap Kids. Or just the Gap, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Farbucks Coffee, which was the Starbucks that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Friar's Fat Boy, which is Bob's Big Boy. And the Tower of London Records, which is just Tower Records mm-hmm. here in the real world. We also have Baskin Robin Hood, or which is just Baskin Robbins, which we need to go to. There's one right next to our house, and I love Baskin Robbins. FFPS, so Far, Far Away Postal Service, which is USPS.
Mm-hmm.
Barney's Old York, or Barney's New York. Abercrombie and Witch, or Abercrombie and Fitch. Far, Far Away Police Department. Okay, those are okay. She's listed Far, Far Away Police Department, like FFAPD. Like, oh, it's like LAPD or NYPD. I'm like, that's just the police department.
I just copy and pasted.
It's funny. Also, so in the bar scene where the king goes to meet Fairy Godmother and Prince Charming, and then Shrek like is snooping
on them. No, I think he's
them.
Like. Oh, is that scene?
Yeah, because it's in the bar. It's in the poison apple.
Well, I think you can see it several times, but I mean, like, I think the first time you see it where the king is, like, going to meet Puss in Boots. And, like,
going to meet who?
Puss in Boots.
Okay. Pussy Boots.
Oh, my God. And he, I should have recorded this on my phone. Fuck.
That's okay. We can always hit record in a minute.
Okay.
But anyway, but in that bar called the Poison Apple, mm-hmm. there are signs that say unhappy hour, 5 to 7. Which is a hell of a time.
Mm-hmm.
No one under 21 in Roman numerals, XXI, admitted. We reserve the right to behead anyone. And no skin, no bones, no service.
Mm.
Hate to see it. Also, Fiona's burp during the dinner party sequence, where they're all like yelling at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, Shrek, Fiona, Duncan.
No. It's when she, they're talking and then she burps. She's like, oh, excuse me.
Well, but it's that scene.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Where they're at dinner.
And Shrek makes that joke, oh, better out than in, I always say.
Yeah, she
But anyway, burp. She really did that. It was unscripted. She had been drinking a Coca-Cola.
Not a Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Diaz. How could you? Anyway, so looking back on the film, What did we rate it? Do you know?
I didn't write it down, but I would definitely give it an 8.
I think I gave it like a 7 or 8, and I'd stick by that. Mm-hmm. 8 or 9.
It's honestly a really good film. And if you have never seen this movie,
what are you doing?
I know. I highly recommend, like, don't even watch the first Shrek. Just watch this one. Like, I do think you're still going to get like chuckles out of it.
It's
like
a good movie.
Yeah, I think you're still going to like enjoy yourself. And it's something you can also watch with like little kids around. So you don't have to like worry about that.
Little kids are funny.
Yeah. But so kids will be entertained. You'll be entertained. It's an 8 out of 10.
I agree.
So the next film we covered was The Sandlot 2. This was Christian's movie, and he regrets it. Holy.
This movie was so much better when I was a kid.
That's because you were being fed the same thing.
I guess. I would have rather been fed a good movie.
I think we gave it really low scores. I definitely think I remember 4 maybe.
4.
Yeah.
4.
I do think that you cannot, they definitely, what's that saying? Lightning in a bottle? Is that it?
Oh, or yeah, like, you can't contain lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. Like,
the first one was
is
good.
So good. It's so good, and it definitely reaches into that nostalgia factor. And this one tries really hard to do the same, except they're trying to do it the same way, like beat for beat for the last movie.
I notice, like, and I understand where it's trying to do, where it's trying mm-hmm. to be like, oh no, kids are always going to be kids. They're always mm-hmm. going to play baseball mm-hmm. at the Sandlot, you know? And that's what it's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it kind of made it like wackier mm-hmm. in a way that wasn't really like
appealing. You can definitely tell it was straight to DVD.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and I keep going back to it. Like, what could have made this movie so much better? And I keep thinking, like, they should have just appealed, like, they really should have dived into the 70s aesthetics. Like, what were kids getting into, like, in that decade?
And asbestos.
I feel like the main problem was, like, oh, well, who's playing, like, baseball outside in the 70s, you know, is the only like logical thing like I could think of that they were having trouble with, because I would have dived deep into that. Or, you know, when we first meet, what's her face? The girl, Haley, I would have had her, like her and her girls, like they could have played, you know, like opening scene and their kids are playing in the sandlot and like they think these girls are boys and then they reveal that they're girls. Like that would have been a cool and differentiate. Yeah, yeah. A cool way to do that. Well,
like, don't get me wrong, the movie was like good until it got like halfway through. After that, it kind of just went like,
it's not good at all. Yeah. It's not good and like throughout. Like you're having things repeated to you with different kids.
You play ball like a girl.
You would have a lot more fun watching the first one.
Yeah.
Than you do with this one.
That's like, all you need. Just watch the first one.
That's literally, this one just is like, I just want to put on the first one.
My thing was, in my kid brain, I was like, oh, this is the same group of kids or whatever, like as the first movie, the second movie.
Of course it was. Like, that's such a kid logic to think, because you're being fed the same story.
But like when I realized that they were in fact different kids, I was like, oh.
And I just feel like there was so many, like there were so, I feel like there was more kids, you know, like you didn't have to have like, oh, the comedic fat kid or the token black kid. You didn't even have to do that. Like they could have been completely different kids. Like you did not have to stick with that formula. You know what I mean? Like they could have done so much more with this and they could have played in the same sandlot. You know,
and here's my other critique.
I feel like
too,
they, yeah, go ahead.
Is that they opened the beginning, retelling the events of the first
movie.
Yes,
they should not have done that.
Yeah, we just don't like address that ever.
They should not have done that. Yeah, I think it was just more like, oh, well, what if the people watching forget what happened?
Because like the main kid was like the brother of like the half brother, I guess, of like the main kid from the first movie. Or whatever. Because you know how in the first movie, the kid, his mom had remarried this dude? Yeah. They had a kid. That kid is the main character in the Sandlot, too.
And I feel like he does nothing. Like, he does absolutely
nothing. Yeah, he's not even the main character.
He serves no purpose.
Like, he's presented as, like, the narrator, but he's not, like, the main character. Yeah. Like, the main character is, like, the one kid who's, like, good at baseball, the one girl who's, like, really good at softball, and, like, that's it.
You know what I think they really did? You know, like, that one kid in the first movie who's like really good at baseball, they should have had Benny, they should have flipped his character with Haley's character, like have like those kind of attributes as him, like let her see her struggles and her pitfalls of being like the girl in like an all boys kind of like thing.
Stupid men.
Like they should have like really they should have tried to make this appeal to girls more, and I think they would have had something there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I feel like they were really trying, but like we're kind of like, oh, this isn't working, let me just like go back to like what I know. Reason why it is like that, it is the director, Mickey Evans, sorry. He directed the first one, and he has said later on in life that he regrets making this movie.
Yeah, it's kind of just not good.
No, and it just makes me so sad, because it's a good story, and I think he was really trying to like, because this was the way he met his wife, so I feel like he's trying to put a lot of his own like real life scenarios into this, but like he's just going back to the same thing over and over again. Yeah. You know, but I feel like we could have done something better with Smalls, like I don't know, or maybe get rid of him altogether, but I just feel like there was so much potential, and I feel like they really like gave up and were just trying to like make money.
Yeah.
So, the director also, like, he narrated both movies. So, if you recognize the voice, it is him. And the scene where the kids argue over who's keeping the sandlot is a reference to Stand By Me, where Gordon and his friends and Ace and his gang argue who's taking the body. So, I would honestly recommend skipping this one. You do not have to watch this movie.
Just watch Sandlot, like the Sandlot, the first one.
Oh yeah, you'll have a way better time. Like you don't need to. But I do recommend listening to our podcast episode. I feel like the worse the movie is, the better the episode.
I feel like if they remade a Sandlot today, they'd just be chilling at the park, and they're like, "Where's this version of Smalls? Like, where's Smalls or whatever?" Mm-hmm. And Smalls goes, "Guys." Like, they'd appeal to, like, our nostalgia as kids or whatever. He's like, guys, Smalls, what is it? They hit the Pentagon.
Oh, my God.
Like,
Like, I don't know. It's weird because it's like the first movie came out in like when the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was appealing to nostalgia from like 20 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
And so the second movie came out in like the 2000s, I think. Mm-hmm. Right? Right?
Maybe.
When did Sandlot 2 come out?
I don't know.
Oh, whatever. Guess we'll never know. But that one's appealing to like the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but like.
And there's a Sandlot 3.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just weird. Like, the first one definitely felt like it took place in the 60s, but mm-hmm. the second one did not feel like it really took place in the 70s, like you said.
Well, I mean, the only way I could differentiate. Yeah, I cannot say that word.
Word of the day. Put it on the fridge.
Literally. Was probably, like, Haley's clothes. Like, she wore bell bottoms or, like, those go-go. Like,
yeah, she's liberated.
Yeah.
With, like, a thing. Like, yeah.
Which I thought they were going to, like, tap into. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what that means. What does that mean to you?
It means she's liberated.
I don't know. It was definitely giving, like, oh, there's a second F word. Like, you know what I mean?
Female.
And it's feminism. So, the next movie we did cover. Oh, did you want to give this a new rating?
It's the same one? It's the same rate. It's still like a 2.
Yeah, we're going to give it a 1.
1 or 2. Like, it's still low. I didn't like it.
Definitely skip it. But I would not recommend not skipping this next movie. We did cover Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. I love this movie. I thought it was really good. I think the pacing is really good. Actors are phenomenal. And it's just pretty.
Yeah.
I love looking at everything. And you look at everything the same way you look at everything in the first film, because Harry's still like learning. Harry. He's still learning about the wizarding world along with us. And I just really love that aspect of it.
Harry.
Do you want to give them your first fact about the film?
Yeah. So for our first fact, the producer... Oh, sorry. It scrolled me all the way to the top. I'm sorry. Tom Felton. I was reading this one earlier. I thought it was funny. He actually forgot his line. So when Harry and Ron disguise themselves as Crab and Goyle, Draco like goes up to Harry, who's disguised, who's disguised as Goyle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, because he sees him reading, or because he was like,
what are you doing?
And he's like reading or whatever. He's like, and then anyway, and then Draco.
I wonder what his line was supposed to be.
I don't know. But Tom Felton as Draco goes up to him. He's like, I didn't know you could read. Anyway, it's because he forgot his line. So he just came up with that on the spot.
I think that's so funny. I need to know what the original line was.
I'm sure we can look up the screenplay.
So it was Jason Isaacs' idea for Lucius Malfoy to have long blonde hair, as well as carry a walking stick inside of which he would conceal his wand. He grew attached to the stick and once tried to take it off set before he was caught.
Dude, if I'm an actor, I'm stealing.
I know. I feel like they don't. I know. But I feel like a lot of them are just like, oh, somebody worked really hard for this. Like, I don't want to.
Like, fucking, what's his name? The guy who played Batman in Dark Knight?
Mm-hmm.
Christian Bale. He tried to take the Batman suit. They're like, oh, it's actually going to cost like $100,000. And he's like,
okay, you got to take something small. You can't just take a Batman suit.
It's his costume. It's fitted specifically for him. No one else is going to wear it. It's just studio property.
Okay, so which means it's not his.
I would have stolen.
I would have tried.
What are you going to do? Sue the actor of your movie that's coming out? Yeah, I think not.
I don't know. Daniel Radcliffe was initially offered approximately... what is this? 181,000?
Yes.
500 for this movie. But the Actors Union Equity stepped in and negotiated new terms.
Points.
I cannot talk, you guys. I'm sorry.
And he basically got a salary increase from 125,000 pounds to 2 million pounds, which is about $3 million.
He was only 12.
Only 12.
Can you imagine having that kind of fucking money?
I would have bought so many Legos if I was 12.
Like, how do you navigate your family life like that?
I know the Lego aisle and Target.
Like, can you imagine if the kid was like was negotiated to make this much money? I would be like, okay, well, we're gonna put this in a trust fund because, like, I don't know. I would try. Like, I need to know what parents of like actors like do. You know what I mean? Like, I need to know.
They probably just help shuttle their kid around, dude.
I know, but at the same time, I'm like, because I read a lot, like, especially with like Demi Lovato's case, like, she was paying all their bills, so like the family like dynamics kind of like changed. Like, she felt like her mom shouldn't tell her what to do because she's paying for everything. And I'm just like, well, how do you prevent that?
What would we do if our kid got famous like that?
I don't know. I'm not gonna let them get famous. It's too dangerous for a kid. Like, after watching so many documentaries, I'm like, I don't want my kid to be famous.
Oh my god, did that one with Nickelodeon that we watched?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't want my kid to. I want my kid to be a normal kid.
So, This is also the final Harry Potter film to feature Richard Harris as Hogwarts headmaster Professor Albus Dumbledore. Rest in peace to both of them.
Yeah.
Harris died of Hodgkin's disease a few weeks before the movie's American release, and so both Chamber of Secrets and the next movie, Prisoner of Azkaban, are dedicated to his memory.
I think it's so sweet. And as a kid, I did not notice that.
Same. Like, I didn't like, yeah,
you guys did such a good job. Like, I was like, oh, this is a different guy?
Harry, did you put your name in the comic book?
I will say, and then with Dumbledore being, what's his face?
Dumbledore?
Got changed to... Gandalf.
Oh, yeah.
I would just like to say that was a really good casting, I think. That was pretty good.
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, speaking of like the American release or whatever, foreign language translations of this movie actually had to change Tom Marvolo Riddle's name so that an appropriate anagram could be formed.
That's amazing.
Like Lord Voldemort or something. Whatever they call him in the different languages.
Oh, gosh, I wonder how much time that took to figure out.
Probably too long, because I'm like, at what point do you just suspend your disbelief, you know?
Mm.
And so at around 1 hour and 16 minutes into the film, Hagrid charges into Dumbledore's office to defend Harry, and he's carrying a dead rooster in his hands. This is a reference to the scene in the book, which was ended up being cut from the movie, where Hagrid finds all of his roosters dead. The sound of a cock crow is fatal to a basilisk.
Oh.
So, basically, if the sound of a cock crow will kill a basilisk, somebody snuck in and killed all of his chickens.
Oh my god, do you think it was Jenny?
Probably.
That's so awful. Oh my god, can you imagine that little girl doing all that?
Yeah.
God.
She was weird. She could have done it. She would have done it without being possessed.
Oh my god. At around the 2-hour, 20-minute mark, originally after hearing Dumbledore's implied accusation, Lucius Malfoy was to leave the office silently. However, Jason Isaacs felt that his character needed to say something, so director Chris Columbus gave him permission to come up with anything. Isaacs then improvised, "Let us hope that Mr. Potter will always be around to save the day," to which Daniel Radcliffe spontaneously quipped, "Don't worry, I will be," to Isaacs' amazement.
So one thing I remember seeing in these movies was that Isaacs was like really kind of like impressed that like these kids could like
act. Yes.
He was like,
he was like, oh, okay.
Okay.
We got real. Cause he's making $3 million now. So he better get his act together.
Get his act together. Oh my God. He said, okay, pop off, pop the fuck off.
He was like, oh, okay.
Anyway. And so, remember, speaking of Jenny, by the way, remember when we said that we wanted more Jenny scenes in the podcast episode? Well, Bonnie Wright revealed that she filmed a scene in which the possessed Jenny strangles roosters, like I said, outside of Hagrid's hut, since the crow of the rooster, you know, kills the basilisk, yada, yada, yada. And like I said, it was cut from the film.
Yeah.
In order to prevent damage to the 500-year-old building used to portray Hogwarts, a false wall was erected at Gloucester Cathedral. That's how you say those names. It's not Gloucester, it's Gloucester, right?
I would have said Gloucestershire. That's what I would have said.
Anyway, if you're English and you're listening,
can you correct us, please? Can you send us a voice memo on how to pronounce that
for the scene? Anyway, a false wall is erected there for the scene in which Harry and his friends discover the messages from the heir of Slytherin written on the wall.
I would just like to say, so you know, when the kids are walking through that courtyard,
Yar.
Okay, that is the same like place where like the Tudors were like living, like, or maybe like, I don't know, I think they were living there. Yeah, that's like Anne Boleyn walked through those halls.
Is that same church? Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
I know, that's insane. If I was the ghost of Anne Boleyn, and do you think she saw that? Like, was she like
heir of Slytherin? Is that the Grim Reaper?
Oh my gosh. So when Hermione ends up in the hospital wing as a human/cat hybrid, because, you know, she used the Polyjuice potion with the cat here, the potion cannot change the users into a different species. It's meant to strange. It might seem strange that her actions remained completely free of any form of penalty, given that it was Hermione herself who stated that it involved breaking about 50 school rules. In the novel, it is implied that Madame Pomfrey kept Hermione unauthorized tinkering with the Polyjuice potion a secret, and she was more the hands-on type who doesn't ask too many questions. Which means Madame Pomfrey, she's a real one.
Dude, I think that, like, the whole school kind of just, like, whenever Hermione would do anything, just be like, okay.
Especially with the time-turner bullshit, like, would that not cause burnout?
They'd be like, okay, well, what, she can always like freeze time and take like a month-long break if she wanted.
That's true.
She's like, ah,
I wonder how many times the fact that the time turner is not used in other books or other movies, it's just like, she's like, well, I'm never doing that again.
These movies would have been over a lot quicker if they just let the kids use like the killing curse and shit like that.
Oh boy.
That's crazy. Sounds of wands being all right, fired.
Do you want to use this last one?
Yeah, actually. So when Harry is healed by Fox's tears during the finale, which was the Phoenix, mm-hmm. right, if you remember, mm-hmm. the music in the score, written by John Williams, echoes that of the music from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, which is my favorite Indiana Jones movie, by the way, mm-hmm. From when the water from the Holy Grail heals Henry Jones Sr. in the same fashion.
Oh, I thought you might like that tidbit.
I did, actually.
So what did you think of Harry Potter? What would you rate it?
7.
I'm going to give it a 9.
Okay.
Yeah. I loved it.
Well, here's the thing.
It just makes me want to have like a Harry Potter marathon.
Yeah, I just feel like I can't rate every Harry Potter an 8 or a 9, you know?
Why?
I don't know.
They're just so nostalgic.
Like, I think the first one is like a 9. Mm-hmm. I think the second one would be like an 8. Mm-hmm. I think Order of the
Prisoner of Azkaban, like that's a 7.
Okay.
It's just not as good. It's just so, it's tonally, it's so different than the other ones. And
it is an abrupt tonal shift.
I hated it.
It's when the movies start to get like really dark and mm-hmm. sad. Then you had, not Order of the Phoenix, you had Goblet of Fire.
10.
Okay. Sarah only says that because she likes the other schools. And then you had, then you had Order of the Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Which I hated. So that's a 6 for me.
Okay.
Seriously. The Half-Blood Prince was good.
Seriously.
I love the Half-Blood Prince. I feel like the Half-Blood Prince. But Dumbledore dies.
That one's an 8. Oh my God. I think Deathly Hallows Part 1 is an 8.
That's a 5.
Five. Oh, wait.
I think it's so boring.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like
when they're camping all the time.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I don't care.
I'm like, where are y'all camping? You're in fucking England. Take the train.
I don't care.
Take the train.
I don't care. Now Deathly Hallows Part 2. Oh, man, wrecked me. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. And it just makes me want to restart it all. Deathly Hallows Part 2. What's your ranking?
I was thinking about it. Sorry. No, I think that one's like
a 9. He's like, Albus, Severus, Dumbledore, Potter. Ron, Hermione.
Albus, Severus, Potter. Or whatever. That's fucking stupid. If I'd found out that like a kid, that one of the kids I went to school with named their son.
Oh, and his name's Potter?
After
I'm kicking dirt in his face.
Dude, yeah, literally.
We are bullying that kid mercilessly.
I'd give my kid my old Potter stinks button. You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd give them that. I'd like, wear this to school. They won't get it, but you will. But I will, I mean.
Oh my goodness. No, that homie has so many fucking cousins running around, bro. He's got his own posse.
His own posse, you say?
Yeah, because Ron and Hermione have a bunch of kids.
Ron, they only have like 2, didn't they? Or 1?
I don't know. That one hung around.
One hung around. Oh my God.
All right. So the next film we covered, our last film's Toy Story 2.
Oh no.
So for the scene where Woody looks at the merchandise from Woody's Roundup, mock-ups of the toys were shown to Tom Hanks in the recording booth. Hanks' spontaneous reaction to the toys were recorded and used for Woody's dialogue. So I get it. There's a snake
in my boot.
That's glorious. I loved it. Tom Hanks, 10 out of 10. I've been seeing a lot of, like, especially, like, around Disney on how they, like, draw Woody.
Woody?
Christian.
What do you mean?
What do we mean?
You gotta say it for the audience. They don't know what face you're making.
He looks very hot.
Oh my God.
I enjoy looking at Woody.
Oh my God.
He just seems like he's a good of heart.
Seek help.
What do you think of Toy Story 2?
I think it's good.
I think it's funny. I mean, it's not as high as the other ones. I would definitely keep my 7 ranking if I gave it that.
I like the first one more.
Yeah, the first one is a lot better.
I don't even care that it looks old.
I know.
and it looks old.
Oh my goodness.
Dude, Andy's sister in the first movie?
Oh, scary.
Terrifying. That's what Emma looked like.
Oh boy. I like to think that it only looks like that because the toys, that's how the toys view the people, like flesh and blood.
As monsters?
Yeah. Because, you know, as a baby, she'll break them.
Oh my God.
You get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. If the people listening, if you get it, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I love Toy Story 2. I thought it was a really good story. I thought even the plot of itself, like, what's it called?
It insists upon itself.
No, the trouble that Andy is having. Andy, what's his name? Woody is having. Yeah, even like his, what's it called?
His arm.
Not only his arm, but like the fact that Andy's gonna grow up and leave him.
Yeah.
Like that is such a huge, like, oh my God, like I didn't even realize. But like with Woody being such an old toy, like he's gone through that before where a kid has grown up, you know? So I don't know. So him, I thought it was very out of character when he does. But then again, like I think he was doing it partly because of Jesse and like Bullseye and them getting back in storage.
Jesse.
Like going to Japan with them and like leaving Andy and the rest of the toys behind, you know? And the fact that that really, because he loves Andy, like to the point where like he, like, I feel like he thinks that he's like sacrificing himself almost. Does that make sense?
Like he's doing this for Andy.
Yeah. Like, so like, oh, so it hurts a little less, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where my mind was thinking.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's such a big topic.
This movie gets big into the emotions.
Oh yeah. Most definitely.
Which brings us to our next point where there was some discussion in regards to the song When She Loved Me, which is what plays during,
Jesse's flashback
thing when she got left behind or given away or something. Randy Newman, who is
he wrote the music for the movie.
I'm trying to think of the
and also title. Monsters Inc.
I was trying to think of the job title. He expressed concern over whether or not young children would be able to sit through the 3-minute ballad while both Tim Allen and Tom Hanks, who play Buzz Lightyear and Woody, they both admitted to being moved to tears by the scene. Which featured the song.
Oh my God, that scene destroyed me as a kid. Why? I was like, because I felt like how I felt. I have abandonment issues.
Oh my God.
So I definitely have, like, so when I hear when She Loved Me, I burst into tears every time. Like, it's just that song that makes me cry. And I highly recommend listening to the Jordan Pruitt for Disney Mania version. Highly recommend. Just as much as a tearjerker.
So on to some more lighthearted stuff. So in the scene where Woody meets Wheezy at the top of the shelf, and he's like, oh my God, I thought you got given away. There's a lot of dust. That scene set a record for the number of particles animated for a movie by a computer,
because
there were so many dust particles.
Isn't that crazy?
And when working on the film, someone entered a code called RM and then like the asterisk symbol, which when entered, deletes everything on the computer as quickly as possible.
Did they fire that person?
Maybe. But because of this, the creators lost nearly like 90% of the film. And when they tried to get the backup animation, it wasn't working. However, luckily, technical director Galen Sussman, who she recently had a child, so she took a copy of the film home so she could work on it there. And so they covered like the extra copy in blankets, like just in case, to protect it, and drove it back to the studio. And they were able to recover most of the film. And sadly, Sussman ended up being laid off from Pixar.
Fucking assholes.
In 2023.
Assholes.
20 years after the fact.
You guys are assholes for that. She fucking saved that film.
Yeah.
Dude, Disney can rot. Did you guys hear about that guy who trying to sue Disney, but Disney's like, you have a Disney Plus subscription? That was so fucking dystopian. Because
his wife died.
That was so fucking dystopian. It wasn't even funny. Yeah. And then they had to backtrack hella fucking fast. They were like, oh, sorry. So the fact that we have like a fucking Disney Plus subscription, like Disney's allowed to come in here and like raid our kitchen and like kill us all in our sleep. You know, fuck Disney, bro.
So one of the items in Al's toy barn.
Oh, you're not going to segue off of what I just said?
Not even going to try. So one of the items in Al's toy barn behind Rex, before he and Mr. Potato Head board Barbie's car, is a pink teddy bear, which previously appeared as one of the silent toys on the shelf top in, during the staff meeting in the original Toy Story. And it served as the basis for Lotso in Toy Story 3.
What'd you think of that?
I thought that was weird. I was like, I wonder, because what if it is the same Lotso?
It might be.
It probably isn't, but still, because Lotso's been at the daycare for years. Well, but then again, there's a pretty big jump between Toy Story 2 and 3.
Yeah.
So there is that. So
sometimes I think they just go through the movie and are like, okay, who's going to be our villain? This random toy here.
Yes. And so Jesse, like, when she first meets Woody, she's like, oh, sweet mother of Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln's mother was Nancy Hanks, who is a blood relative of Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is a direct descendant of an uncle of Nancy Hanks.
That's kind of insane.
Yeah.
Early drafts of the original Toy Story had a Barbie doll in the role that became Little Bo Peep, but Mattel refused, so that's why she had to turn into Little Bo Peep. So once Toy Story was like did good commercially, Mattel was like, "Oh yeah, go ahead and use Barbie," and
so that's why she appears in the second movie.
Yeah, and we get Tour Guide Barbie.
Tour Guide Barbie,
which I'm pretty sure they actually made as an exclusive doll as a tie-in with the film,
which is great.
Yeah, so you can buy Tour Guide Barbie.
Hell yeah, we should buy Tour Guide Barbie. No reason.
So remember when I said in the recording of our episode that I couldn't remember all the Star Wars references in the film?
Yeah.
Well, we got the video game opening scene, which features several references to the Star Wars film. The robotic scanning device that popped out of the rock face resembling the gatekeeper droid.
For Jabba's palace.
Yeah.
And Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. And let's see. Zurg's line. Let's see, hold on. Buzz traveling through the tunnel. What did I say? Okay, Buzz traveling through the tunnel and Zurg's fortress is closing behind him upon entering. Spiked wall trap was taken from Star Wars Episode 5.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yes. Zurg's line of, "So we meet again, Buzz Lightyear, for the last time," is a paraphrase of what Darth Vader said to Obi-Wan Kenobi shortly before dueling him in Episode 4.
You can just say A New Hope. People know
what that is. Okay, well, I'm going to say Episode 4, and if you don't know what that is, then you're not really a Star Wars fan.
Oh my gosh.
How about that? How about them apples? I'm quizzing you.
Fake fan. Literally. So this also occurred during the encounter with the Zurg toy in the elevator shaft in Al's apartment. Like, not in the video game, now in the real world. The phrase is also spoken in Mel Brooks' Spaceballs between Lord Helmet and Lone Star before their last battle.
That's amazing.
So we meet again for the last time. Despite a clear obsession with Woody's Roundup, Al never actually says the name Woody or the names of the Roundup gang at any point in the movie. Honestly, I kind of interpret that as like, he doesn't see them for like what they are. He sees them as dollar signs.
That's so awful.
He doesn't see them as the toys themselves.
Which makes him even worse. And I'm kind of glad, because I felt kind of bad for him that like he didn't get anything in the end, because it kind of wasn't really his fault. He was just like, he was just doing what he regularly would do. You know what I mean?
It's the same thing with like people like, and what was the mean neighbor kid in the first movie? The one who blows up toys.
Oh, Sid.
Sid. Mm-hmm. He didn't know they were alive. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like,
I'm sure he wouldn't have done that, you know?
If he'd known the toys were alive, he would not have blown them up.
I argue that Sid was also playing. He just wasn't playing, in quotes, the right way.
Yeah.
You know?
Way to bully the other kid.
I'm just saying. I mean, like, do I think it's a bit destructive to, like, break your toys? Yeah. But I mean, like, he was also making them into something, like, he creatively thought, you know? So maybe he was just, you know, artistically a visionary and we just weren't getting it, you know what I mean? But I don't know, Buzz and the gang kind of traumatized him, so I bet he's never touching a toy ever again.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, his poor parents. I wonder if they think like his son, there's something wrong with him with his sudden behavior changes. That's a sign.
Well, he ends up being a garbage man, so it worked out.
Did you guys know that Bullseye was supposed to have a voice actor?
But Martin Short.
Yeah, we could have gotten him. Do you know who that is, Christian?
Sounds familiar.
Basically,
wait, isn't he the dude from Pink Panther? Or am I thinking of
No. You're thinking of
Jordan.
You're thinking of someone else. But he is in that show and only Murders of the Building with him.
Oh, yeah. I was gonna, okay.
So that's why. Yeah, that's why you're thinking what you're thinking.
Okay.
Because I was gonna say he's in the Santa Claus with who is that? Woody Allen. Tim Allen. Woody Allen. But I guess they decided to cut Martin Short because they decided that it would just be better for Bullseye to act like a puppy. So I think we also said that in our episode that like they had a really short like working time for this film.
Yeah.
And because it was such a tight schedule, the editors of the film would often work 36 to 48 hour shifts.
I would kill myself.
Literally, I would quit.
Like, okay, I do not understand why that's okay in any industry. And the excuse is always like, "Oh, well, it's just a different industry. It's really hard." I'm like, "That is not okay in any industry."
I know.
If you look at me in the face and tell me like, "Oh, I need you to work more than 10 hours like for months, a day," and I'm like, "Get the fuck out of my face!"
No, for real.
Like,
it's awful.
I'll be here at 8. I'll be leaving at 5.
So awful.
I'll be here at 8. I'm leaving at 5. And if you can clown on me for saying I don't have a work ethic or whatever, but like that's not okay.
Oh my god.
Like that. Like genuinely. Like people were striking for like hundreds of years to like have like a 40-hour work week.
I know.
And I'm like, you don't just get to take that away because it's a cushy office.
I know. Editorial department manager Lindsay Collins said that sometimes editors would burst into tears purely from exhaustion. If that is happening, and why do human beings put other human beings through that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that is just so incredibly awful. And it's definitely biting them in the ass now, especially with the whole, like, Marvel thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you are working these people. Like, people are going to wait. They're going to wait. All right?
Yeah.
I know we complain about waiting, but, I mean, like, what are we going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm like, because I'm the same way with, like, all these other, like, rushed projects. Mm-hmm. Like on Disney, like with a lot of the Star Wars stuff lately, like people are saying that it feels rushed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, literally we would have waited an extra year.
Mm-hmm.
Like it sucks not having content, mm-hmm. but like people aren't just going to cancel their Disney Plus subscriptions because nothing's happening. Keep it in the wait.
I know, they'll wait. And I feel like no human being should ever feel like their life is just their job. Like, we are human beings. We deserve to be outside. We deserve to be with our loved ones. And that's just basic human decency. Like, we are not slaves to the machine, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I'm going to say on that.
That's bad on that.
So, I know we discussed during that episode, I remember saying, like, oh, I wonder where does Woody, like, come from? Like, where was he bought? And the movies do not explicitly state the years in which they take place, which makes the first Toy Story timeline inexact. However, references within the films can date the first movie as taking place in 1995. This means that Andy, who is turning 6 in the first film, was born in 1989. Woody and Andy were friends from an early age, so Woody and Andy would have first met when Andy was a baby. Even then, however, Woody is a lot older than Andy. And in Toy Story 2, Woody learns that he is a collectible toy based on the 1950s television show Woody's Roundup, along with Jessie and Bullseye and, you know, Stinky Pete. So Woody is part of this limited edition set that the toys are rare enough, you know, to be sold.
Yeah.
The black and white aesthetic suggests that it's the 50s. And again, this is confirmed in Toy Story 4 by Gabby Gabby. As a result, Woody would have lived 30 to 40 years of his life before meeting Andy. When Al tries to buy Woody at the yard sale in Toy Story 2, Andy's mother apologizes to him and takes Woody back, saying that he's an old family toy. Andy is only around 8 years old in Toy Story 2, and as his mother identifies Woody as a family toy rather than her son's toy, that seems to signal that Woody has been in the family's possession longer than Andy has been alive. In Toy Story 2, Woody remarks, "A record player? I haven't seen one of these in ages." It's unlikely that Andy would have had a record player in the 1990s, so that this would indicate that Woody does have memories of his life before Andy, yeah. And it's likely that Woody was owned by one of Andy's parents when they were children. Some fan theories go deep into Andy's missing father and hinge on the idea that Woody once belonged to him, because Andy associates Woody with his father, and he is all the more attached to the toy.
Dude, I remember seeing a theory that, like, Andy doesn't have a missing father.
Mm. We just don't see him because he's at work.
Yeah. Like, and Andy's mom is just like a housewife.
Yeah, she's like a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah, like, that's, I've seen that theory, and I'm like, homie just has a real job, I guess.
Wow, okay. We can't see single moms with two kids thriving. Okay.
Yeah, that's basically what all the theories said. Like, oh, is that, oh, his dad is just at work, man.
I like the idea of Woody being, yeah, like, Andy's, like, father figure. I think in many ways Woody does also see himself as taking on that role, especially when they play.
Yeah. Although if he doesn't have a dad, he has a great essay for when he goes to college in Toy Story 3.
But that
I too have struggled. All my toys came to life and scared my neighbor.
So that is all the movies we watched this month. Yeah. You can listen anywhere you get your podcasts.
Spotify,
Apple Podcasts, anywhere. They should be on there. Right, and if they don't, email me. I got you. All right. I will send you the episode personally if you cannot get a hold of an episode. So, yeah, that is our sequel month. How would you rate the entire month? Because I personally, I would give it a solid 6. I feel like
I'd give it a 7. We had 3 really good movies, and then we had Harry Potter. Yeah. I'm kidding. We had Sandlot. Sandlot was not good.
If you could pick something, anything from one thing from each of the movies. It can be a character, it could be the scenario. Yeah, it can be a scenario, or it can just be some random thing you saw in the background that kind of stuck out to you.
Okay. The Retriever from Sandlot 2.
Okay, let's start from the beginning.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Okay, Shrek 2, all of the different stores.
Okay.
Yeah, so like Farbucks, you know, mm-hmm. Abercrombie and Witch, you know, all those stores. And then mm-hmm. the Retriever from Sandlot 2. Okay. And then there's the deleted scene when Jason Isaacs like moved Harry Potter with his cane, mm-hmm. but he accidentally like smacked him in the face with it.
Oh my God.
He's like, oh dear. I'm sorry, boy. I'm sorry, boy. Like he broke character. That clip.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what am I trying to say? The Zerg video game when like Buzz Lightyear gets like disintegrated.
That's amazing. Yeah. That is our dream Brunt rotation for the entire sequel month. Guys, please, you guys can also participate in Sober Thoughts. You can just email us at puffpuffpodcast23@gmail.com. Tell us your thoughts on the film. Tell us your dream, your Nightmare Blunt rotation for the month. We're always here to listen. Follow us on Twitter at puffpass
podcast.
RX.
Let me double check that.
Let's check that real quick. Facts.
Google, show me this guy's Twitter, please. Yeah, it's at Puff Pass Podcast.
That's us. Christian mostly posts like
film reviews and
he does that. I post the memes.
He does that.
I post the memes. So if you see me in the comment section fighting for my life, it's probably me. So DM us, say hi, say what's up.
Retweet us.
Yes, we got some good stuff on there. We also have a letterbox. I think Christian was planned on like taking over that. But we are PuffPuffPass23. Sometimes we just post movies that we're just like watching. I've also noticed that Christian kind of puts like movies that we watch throughout the year.
Sometimes.
But yeah, you can always check that out just to see what we're watching. We also have an Instagram. What are we? What's our name? I didn't make the Instagram. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. Puff_pass_podcast is us. I'm not sure yet what I'm going to put there, but. Well, we're gonna figure it out. We are gonna figure it out. We also have a TikTok. We are Puff That Podcast 23. So if you see me also fighting for my life in the comment section, that is us.
Please support. It's that meme that goes around every year. It's like, send dudes. Do you mean send nudes? No, I'm in a fight. I need more men. Like, send more men.
But yeah, that was our sequel month. Woo! So next month, we will be doing our third annual Spooktober.
Spooktober.
So get ready to get festive. Grab your pumpkins.
This is the one.
Grab your gourds.
This is the one bit we've committed to every year.
Bats, your ghosts. We're going into Spooktober.
It's Spooktoberfest.
And, you know, I was trying to think of what movies we should do. You know, I feel like we do a lot of, like, oh, let's just do this one. Let's just do this one. And, you know, I want to get into, like, the nitty-gritty, like, I want to feel like it's Halloween. So I picked a movie monster.
We're doing Spookly the Square Pumpkin. Followed up by Mrs. What's that one? Like, a scary godmother or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Followed up by mm-hmm. scary godmother.
Mm-hmm.
Then we are also doing Charlie Brown, the Great Pumpkin or whatever.
Mm.
And then for the grand finale, we are doing Saw 4.
Oh my God. Okay. We're not doing any of those movies, but
you can do Spookly. I don't mind.
So
you can be a mini.
If you want to find out what movie monster we are doing next, you're gonna have to. Sorry, guys, you're gonna have to tune in. I don't think I should tell you. I don't think I should tell you what we're doing anymore.
It's probably Spookly.
So if you were ready to get into the spooky mood with us, tune in next week for that. And thank you so much for listening to us.
Thank you so much.
We're such a small podcast.
I know we ramble.
We do a lot. We're such a small podcast and, you know, it's just me and Christian, but we really enjoy that we're getting a little engagement here and there.
Don't use my government name.
Oh my God. Okay. Tell them bye, Christian.
Goodbye.
Bye.